Luke chapter 6 this morning, Luke chapter 6, in your copy of God's Word. Last week, we spent time reading the Sermon on the Plain in its entirety, and so this week, we will focus in on just one verse, verse 20. But the passage that Dale read for us is really a wonderful introduction to our text this morning. You heard him read that Jesus describes himself as a vine. As his followers, we are like branches. We are offshoots of the vine. So what do we understand about that analogy? We understand that without the vine, we can do nothing. We have no life outside of the vine. We may carry on our day-to-day existence, but abundant life with eternal fruit is outside of our grasp as a branch disconnected from the vine. Life simply cannot be really lived without Jesus stepping in, without Jesus providing that which we truly need, new life which only the vine can supply. So our text this morning is Luke chapter 6, verse 20. The message that Jesus is about to preach will become known to us as the Sermon on the Plain. Its close companion is the Sermon on the Mount. Essentially the same information given at two different times, described by two different writers, but the same themes. This sermon is going to present a radically different message, a radically different agenda from what the nation of Israel had come to expect. While they would never consent to this comparison, they didn't ask me, so I can make the comparison. They would never agree to this, but the Jewish people had really become much like the zealots of their day. They longed for political and military conqueror to swoop in and to rescue them from the oppressive hands of Rome. But Jesus didn't come with marching orders. Jesus didn't come with tactical training. Jesus came with a message. And that message describes how a person is to live with Jesus as their king. His message, rooted in love, lays out a spiritual, ethical standard. When I say spiritual, ethical standard, what I mean is that Jesus is not laying out a list of do's and don'ts to earn a place in the kingdom here. What he is giving to the people who were within earshot, but for us to glean from today, what he is giving is a description of what those who are already in the kingdom look like. The follower of Christ will live different from this world. The follower of Christ will look different, will sound different, will think differently. The follower of Christ will look different from this world because Jesus will change every part of their being. Again, not with military conquest, but with a new life from the inside out. And that life will be coupled with some new rules of engagement. Those rules, better put, that mindset begins to take shape as soon as Jesus opens his mouth here in this message. Notice here in verse 20 of Luke chapter 6 that Jesus begins with a promise of blessing to his disciples. Remember, disciples are followers. That is the definition that is laid out for us here in this scene. The followers, the learners. Here is what Jesus says to his followers. verse 20. He lifted up his eyes on his disciples and he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Well, let's begin this morning by defining our terms. That word blessed that Jesus begins with, blessed, blessed, we call that word a beatitude. Why is it a beatitude? Because that word is more of an expression than it is anything else. So when Jesus begins with, "Blessed are you who are poor," this is an expression. And the expression means something actually very simple. It is different than the joy that is talked about in other portions of the Bible. So we can't just say, "Joyful are you." Because blessed actually means how happy. How happy, or maybe even more accurately, how privileged. And here's the idea. The idea is this. This is an expression, so I'll define it with an expression. Wow. You have so much. You are so privileged. How happy you must be. That's what Jesus says with that one word, blessed. Wow! You must be so happy. The happiness. The happiness here is not a result of external circumstances. It's not the end of a series of lucky events. Woohoo! Everything fell together, didn't it? No. This happiness is an expression rooted in a surprise. Because the surprise is yet to come. So this expression of happiness is rooted in what is to come. It is a statement of blessing, a happiness, a settledness, a rest with a future salvation in mind. Believer, do you know that you will be saved? You say, "Wait a minute, I thought I already was saved." Yeah, you were. But do you know that that salvation leads to an eternal salvation? Something that's very, very different than you and I experience here on earth. And that is behind this word, blessed. That future happiness, that future blessing has an immediate effect on us. When Jesus says, "Blessed are you who are poor," that word blessed is used repeatedly here in Luke chapter 6. And it's in the present tense. It's in the present tense. So Jesus is not saying you will be happy. Jesus is making an expression of the immediate state of the true follower. You are happy. The idea is that this happiness can be enjoyed and bring delight right here, right now. In fact, it is expected that the one who knows of their immediate salvation and is anticipating their eternal salvation will be filled with a happiness that results in people saying, "Wow, you are blessed. Do you know what you have?" It's actually more strange than it even sounds on the front end. Because what you're probably doing is saying, "Yeah, well, happiness, all right, come on. I've been told again and again I need to have joy, and that's not always happy." True. But if this beatitude is an expression, meaning how privileged, then it's going to even span, like joy, it is going to span past our external circumstances. Consider the rest of the clause. Blessed are you who are poor. How happy you must be. I mean, how privileged. You have so much. You must be so happy. Why? Because you're poor. And those who aren't followers of Jesus are saying, wait, what? You can understand why the crowd accused Peter of being drunk when he preached Christ's message. Because to the common sense mind, it doesn't make sense. Wait, what is Jesus talking about? All right, again, we're defining our terms. Blessed is a beatitude. It's an expression meaning how happy you must be, how privileged you are. Who is the recipient of this blessed happiness? You who are poor. The word used for poor here is not the word used to describe the widow who gave her two coins in Luke 21. You remember that story? You remember this lady who came in Luke 21 and she gave very quietly, very humbly, she gave these last two coins. And she is described as poor. But it's a different word. Because what does this lady have? She has two coins. She actually has an offering to bring. So she was poor. She had very, very little. But she still had something. The word that's used here means absolutely destitute. One who must look to others to meet his or her needs because there will be no needs met in their own efforts and by their own resources. Completely at the mercy of another. This poor person in Luke 6 has no ability and they are so destitute that they have no illusion that they can provide for themselves. They have absolutely nothing and they know it. Nothing. So the question for us as we read Jesus' words here, the question becomes, okay, well, is Jesus referring to material possessions? Or is there something else here? The good news for us is that we do not need to guess. God has provided everything we need to understand this passage. One of the amazing rules of Bible interpretation is this, is that we are to allow Scripture to interpret Scripture. In other words, the passages that are less clear are clarified by those passages which are more clear. In this case, we have two similar passages, don't we? We have the Sermon on the Plain that we're looking at here out of Luke. What do we also have? We have the Sermon on the Mount that's recorded for us in Matthew. Here is what Matthew's rendition of the Sermon on the Mount says. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Here's what it says. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So we can hear what Jesus has on his mind. He's not going to change his message. Jesus has a consistent message all the way through the Bible. All right, God is communicating clearly. God is communicating exactly. And so Jesus, as he's preaching to one group of people, is not going to change the principle and change the themes for another group. He is the source of ultimate authority. He's going to be consistent all the way through. So Jesus, we hear it in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, that Jesus is speaking in spiritual terms here. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. One commentator says the poorness here is a condition of the spirit, not the wallet. Poverty here in the sermon is not financial, but it refers to one who recognizes that they have no spiritual assets of their own. Blessed are the poor in spirit. They are spiritually bankrupt and must have another intervene on their behalf. They have nothing spiritually and they know it. So someone else has to step in. Now, think about this. The passage Dale read, as the branch has no life apart from the vine, so the Spirit is as poor as a beggar without Jesus. And people say, well, there's a little bit of good in everyone. No. They're dead branches. Their spirit is corrupt. They need the outside intervention of another. Without the vine, the branch is nothing. Without Jesus, no one is rich. Matthew records Jesus' words as blessed are the poor in spirit in a general sense. Blessed, because what is in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus looks out on the crowds. In the Sermon on the Plain, who does Jesus look upon? His disciples. So you've got a slight difference there. Jesus looking at the crowds, and he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Looking on his disciples. Jesus' message on the plain is very personal to those who are followers of him. And he says, blessed are you poor. So put poor in spirit and you poor together. What is Jesus communicating? You, those of you who know that this condition does not come by giving away your possessions. You don't become poor because you give away everything you have. Maybe putting on a false sense of humility. Oh, woe is me. I have nothing. I'm so poor. No, you in whom the Holy Spirit has worked, you who know that in you resides no goodness, in you resides no merit, in you resides no will to be holy, you who are truly poor in heart, how happy you must be. Why? Because Jesus follows the promise of blessing with the reveal of the reward. How happy you must be, those of you who are poor, you must be so happy. He says, here's why. Because yours is the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus cannot be talking financially here. Else Lydia would have no place in the kingdom. There would be no offer to the rich young ruler. Go on and on throughout the Bible, and there are rich people in the Bible who are going to heaven. But it's not because of their riches. It's actually because they have become poor. Jesus said, how happy you must be that you are spiritually poor. He says, yours is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is yours. Those who know that they have no good thing except they receive it from God, yours is the kingdom of God. Those who know themselves as beggars bowing before a gracious king, they are the ones who are truly happy, because from their gracious king they have received that which is completely foreign to them, completely outside of their grasp. What have they received? The kingdom of God is yours, eternal life, and the exceeding riches of the grace of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's yours. How happy you must be. C.S. Lewis said it so beautifully. He said, "We are half-hearted creatures, fooling around with drink and immorality and ambition when infinite joy is offered us." He goes on to say, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he can't imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. The mud pies of our own attempts at satisfaction are an illusion. Yet as long as we hold on to those illusions about our own spiritual resources, I bring this, I bring this, I bring this, we think ourselves rich, and yet we are poor. It is the poor who receives from God what he absolutely needs. The one who says, "I bring nothing to the table." To be poor in spirit is to recognize our spiritual poverty apart from God. It is to see yourself, and this is a grace of God, it is to see yourself as you really are. Bankrupt spiritually. Needy spiritually. Helpless spiritually. People look at this and they say, "This is such a negative message." No! How happy you must be for those who have said, "Yes, that is me." Bankrupt, needy, helpless. This blessing to the poor is placed first here in Jesus' list. This is Jesus' first words out of his mouth in the Sermon on the Plain. "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." It's placed first on purpose, because it puts everything that follows into perspective. Nothing here can be fulfilled in our own strength. For those who say, yeah, this is how you get into God's kingdom. No, don't miss verse 20. You don't earn anything. You can't. You're poor. You're destitute. Own it. And thank God that his word speaks so clearly to help us understand our sinful condition, our empty, bankrupt condition. Yes, that's good news. Because for the one who says, "That is me," God says, "Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Nothing in this world can compare." The poor in spirit recognize their total destitution apart from Jesus Christ. There are no saving resources that they bring to the table. They must come with a beggar's reliance on God's power to save them. And the good news is, he will. When they come to him as one who sees his need as a sinner. I love the hymn, "No merit of my own, his anger to suppress. My only hope is found in Jesus' righteousness." The psalmist knew it. Here's what the psalmist says, Psalm 73, verses 25 and 26. "Whom have I in heaven but you? I'm empty. I've got nothing. Who do I have in heaven but God? There's none of my righteousness efforts and righteous deeds or holy deeds standing before God pleading my cause. They don't make it. The Old Testament says they're worthless. They're filthy rags that should just be thrown on the trash heap. Well, my righteousness can't stand before God. It is tainted with sin, so it's not even righteousness. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. These are the words of a man who is blessed, happy, because he has learned the secret to contentment here on earth. What is the secret to contentment here on earth? It is a right relationship with the eternal God of heaven. Poor in spirit, yet rich in God. Listen carefully. When you and I are satisfied with the giver of life, because we've found in him the life we're really looking for, when you and I are satisfied with the giver, we are freed from that ravenous quest for satisfaction that is the discouraging existence of so, so many people. Run from this to that, to this to that. Okay, maybe I'll try this. No, that didn't work. Okay, we're going to go this direction. No, that failed me. I'm going to go over it. And they spin and they spin and they spin their wheels. The poor are blessed. The poor are happy. The poor are privileged because their hearts believe in Jesus by faith. Because they trust him and him alone. And because they find their rest in him. This is how Jesus starts his sermon. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. No contradiction, not even a play on words. Jesus is just simply saying, do you know how poor you really are? Because until you know how poor you really are, you will not know the riches of heaven. You can't, because you're still trusting in something here that can only be fulfilled and satisfied by something there. Believer, follower of Jesus, I think this one verse is a call to keep the right perspective. It is a call for us to remember who we are, both without Christ and with Christ. Believer, how happy you must be. And yet we sit there and say, oh yeah? You know what I'm going through? You know the pain? You know the turmoil in our family? Do you know the heartache that I'm experiencing because of my lack of funds? You know how insecure I am? I feel like I'm going to fall off the cliff at any moment. And Jesus comes along and says, how happy you must be. He's right. This is a call to remember that he is Lord. He is King. He is the one in whom we rest our hope. Maybe you're leaning too much on what you think you bring to the spiritual table. Maybe it is, follower of Jesus, that you need to repent. Maybe it is that you need to lean on Christ as your identity, your vine, for life, your riches, your purpose for being. Blessed are you who are poor. How happy you must be. That happiness, believer, is directed at us. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, this message of joy is not for you. I'm not being mean. He is writing to his disciples, or he is speaking to his disciples. This message is not for the non-follower, but it can be. That's why we call the gospel the good news. When Jesus says, you're wrong, you sin, you fail, you fall short, you can't, that is good news. Don't be offended. Say, thank you, all-knowing God, for pointing that out to me so that I could learn that in you I can. That in you I am. That in you I have. Because apart from him, you truly can do nothing. With no spiritual merit, there can be no spiritual reward. But Jesus came to die so that you can live. And if Jesus came to die so that you can live, I think with pride and with self-assurance on the altar, the message here, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God, is applied when we stand empty-handed before God and we say, save me from my sin. Save me, I can't. There's nothing in me, but you can, and he wants to. So when you do, when you let go of your own rich efforts, you will know the joy of gaining him. Poor, yet oh so rich. Father in heaven, thanks for this passage. One verse. Blessed are you who are poor. God, I pray that this truth would convict us in a way that only you can do. I can't manufacture conviction in our hearts. But you can bring it as the Holy Spirit weighs on us. First of all, asking us the question, do you really see yourself as privileged? Do you really see yourself as happy, as blessed, as rich because of Christ? You only will when you are truly poor. God, I pray that believers would again speak truthfully with you. I pray that they would come before you and rehearse again in their easily deceived minds. Mine too. When we think we are so great and so valuable, so important, we bring nothing. But by the grace of God, we know Christ. And in Christ, we stand righteous before the holy God of heaven. And so ours is the kingdom of God, adopted into your family with all of the riches of grace that are there. Abundant blessing again and again, more and more. God, I pray that we would be a happy people because we're a thankful people. And for those who are here today who are not followers of Christ, I pray that they would see the hope in this. They can know Christ as Savior when they see that they are a sinner in great need. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So I pray that they would see their need of a Savior and believe by faith that Jesus is him. Poor in spirit, they would come to the king asking to be saved. And they would know the love, and they would know the care, and they would know the compassion of a righteous Savior who died to set them free. Grow us, I pray, as we learn from the Sermon on the Plain. In Jesus' name, amen.